Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
So I'm kind of getting tired of introducing people by their job titles. And there's not very many people that I could put on the spot and say, introduce yourself just like as a person before you are what you are on LinkedIn. But with Ronen Ayres, I feel like I can. I'm just so over like saying, here is X from XYZ, or here is Joe from like whatever. So how should we introduce you outside of just what you do?
I would say I'm that guy from the village.
Yeah.
I'm the village idiot. I'm the guy who has three daughters, loves trail running, and I'm probably on about 8 cups of coffee a day.
I like that. You see, that was more interesting than the CEO of Student Village, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. We've got some very important conversations to have, and you and I are having a conversation now really around what's happening in our country and some massive stuff that is coming up. When you sort of think of the term voting, I always think the first exposure I had to voting was for like a class president. And that was the first exposure I had where I realized the impact of voting. So the idea of the teacher would come around and she would give out a piece of paper and you would write down who you wanted to be the class president. And then there was an effect because that person then had power to say, cool, we should do this or we should do that, or you need to keep quiet or whatever it was like in assembly. So that was my first sort of understanding of what it was to choose someone, elect them into power, and then them have power over me. So this idea of the transfer of power that comes with voting. Of course, when you apply that to a national context, it gets a little bit more intense. But Ronen, when you think voting in its purest form and what it's really about, that concept, how do you approach it?
Well, firstly, I've got a similar story, except mine's in reverse. I remember it was in Standard 9, Form 4, Grade 11, I'm not sure what you call it these days, and I was the first person to find out that I wasn't going to be a prefect.
Ah.
That's how I tasted voting. But really what it is at the heart of it is it's the core to democracy.
Mm.
And I think this is where we forget is that we as a people are not only electing a party, but we're electing leaders to lead us and to serve us and to act in our best interests. And at the heart of it is our vote counts.
Mm.
Our vote is there to really not only elect in officials, but to show them that we're either behind them or we've moved on somewhere else.
Yeah, it is just a real double-edged sword of giving your power over to someone, them exerting power over you. The fundamental, though, is that it makes a huge impact and it makes a huge change and it dictates so much of what our narrative is going to be as a country. And now as we sort of begin to apply voting to what's going to happen next week in the elections, the local government elections, it starts to take on a hell of a, you know, a hell of a context and a hell of a story in terms of where we're at as a nation, what we want, how we choose that, and where we're at. And of course, the people that lead a nation at the end of the day are young people. And when you look at young people being a little unenthused about voting, it's a difficult space to be in.
Yeah, I mean, if you look around the world, look in the past couple of years, when Obama came in, he came in on the youth ticket.
Mm.
When you see what's happened with Brexit, the youth in the UK are, they're seriously upset because they're going to have to live with the decisions of the vote that they didn't pitch up to.
Yeah.
When you look at locally, if I had to walk around campuses and when we speak to lots of students around and around the country, there's a sense of, I'm not sure yet if I'm going to vote. When you ask most of them, well, have you actually registered? A large percentage didn't even register. And the thought that goes through my mind is, what would your granny say if you told her you didn't register?
And it's what is happening, though, that line no longer works? That almost, in inverted commas, guilt trip of, but people have fought so hard for you to have this opportunity that it's not working, kind of implies that there is some major disconnect, because you would think in a South African context, 20-something years into democracy, that you wouldn't even have to mention that sentence as a reason for somebody to go and register to vote, a young person, they'd already do it. But there's some disconnect between sort of where we've come from and where we're going and the role people see in terms of what they're going to play in the future of the country.
There's a massive disconnect, and there's that awkward silence afterwards, and you're not quite sure whether they're thinking, well, actually, I didn't think of that. Or what is he talking about? Because I really don't connect with the guilt trip. It didn't even press a button for me. And quite frankly, I'm feeling so disappointed and disillusioned with what I've seen over the last few years since I may have voted previously, that it's just the sense of, I see who's running the country. I read the media. There's only bad news out there. Mm-hmm. And why would I go and vote for something that I feel I will make zero difference? And I'm only perpetuating the problem. There isn't an understanding that if we all came together and we all voted for change, that potentially there could be a change. But there's a sense that the leaders have let them down, that the values that they hold, that those running the country do not have the youth interest at heart.
And by the way, we're rooting this in fact, because the numbers really do speak to young people being very disinterested in voting. This is not something that we're just saying. These are the stats that are out there, that not as many young people are going to rock up to the polls for the upcoming elections as what they should. So there's clearly some sort of disconnect. And when you really start to scratch beneath the surface, which is what you guys do in all your research over at Student Village, you begin to find, like you were describing, just this overall sense of, well, I don't really care. I don't really know. I don't think it's going to affect me. I don't know. I'm disappointed. I'm disillusioned. I'm all these things, which is not good for the growth of the country at the end of the day. And that's what suffers.
At the end of the day, the question that I'm also thinking about is, if people are so hopeless, if our young, who are the most energetic, the most vibrant, and the ones that will eventually lead the country, are feeling so hopeless at the moment that their vote won't count. It's a sense of this the real mountain that they face every day, that when they graduate, or even if they can get into a university or a postgrad institution, that what is waiting for them on the other side? Because when they look left and right, where they're living and the opportunities that are around, they are just kept in this air of despair. And it's really worrying. And I think you could say around the world that youth can sway, they can sway an election.
Absolutely,
They're usually at the heart of most revolutions. But there's a sense that, yes, we are frustrated. We do want a revolution. And we do want things to change. My question is, well, if you don't vote, what are you saying? If you spoil it, and there is a huge sense that there are huge portions of the youth population that are going to sleep in on Wednesday. And there's a sense of, well, you know, I don't really know of my friends that are voting. I'm not going to influence them to vote or not to vote, but I'm really undecided yet at the moment, and we're only a few days away.
And that's certainly not from a lack of advertising budget on any of the ends of the parties. I mean, certainly the messages are clear, the billboards are there, the ads are running, the people in media are speaking about it. It's not like it's for a lack of the message being out there or in your face, that these elections are coming up and that you need to register and you need to vote. It's just clearly that, you know, people just don't really like what anyone's saying. I mean, when you've got that kind of marketing spend, and the message is there, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I think if you look from a marketing level, if you had to ask anyone, do you know there's an election next week? I would say predominantly the message would be yes. The question is, are you going to sleep in or are you going to go vote? And I think what the youth are finding very hard, well, even if I do vote, who am I voting for? Because the core of the issue is around trust. Who do I trust to pull something off? Because I have an incumbent party who we voted in. As someone told me, we gave them the job in 1994. They got the job, and we've had too many disciplinary hearings since 1994 that right now we don't want to vote for them. On the other side, there are new parties that have come, and they think, well, can we trust them? Do they have the credibility? Are they just playing to the masses and trying to win an election? But can they actually pull something off? When it comes to someone like Juju, there is huge, huge popularity for what he says. A lot of youth are really enthralled by what he says. Question is, will they vote for him? Will they actually believe that he could pull something off? And I think we're a couple of days away from finding out. But he could be a serious kingmaker in the years to come.
And he's younger as well. And this is where it gets tricky, because it's separating people from parties. And I know that they're completely intertwined. But I've had numerous conversations with young people who may not like a specific leader, but like the party. And even in that space, find themselves a little confused as to what to do, because you don't like Joe, but you like the company that Joe works for.
Absolutely. And I think in this election, if you had to have a long conversation with a lot of youth, truth is they haven't done any research.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Most of it is done on perception through social media, through what they might see on TV or reading the papers. And there's a lot of chatter, but it may not all be based on fact. They get caught up in the hype. And the question is, what disturbs me the most is, what will get this generation to act? So you saw with Fees Must Fall, what they were saying is, you know what, we're tired of the status quo. We're going to mobilize, we're going to unite, and we're going to take action. And guess what? We're going to do it on our own. We're not going to do it with political parties.
Well, this is also where it gets interesting, because, some young people might be thinking, okay, cool, I know that a country works like this and there's voting and everything, but at the end of the day, like, I could invest that energy in going to the polls, or I could invest that energy in just mobilizing and doing my own thing. But, you know, the power of the collective cannot be underestimated. And so while it might be easy to marvel and say, oh, look at how amazing our fight against Fees Must Fall was, you can't sort of disregard the power of an election in making a change. And opt out of, using an election to make a change versus making a change based on one specific aspect of society that you're not particularly connecting with.
Well, I think students, you're absolutely right. Students and youth are particularly swayed by what they see, and they want immediate gratification. So what they see is a lot of inequality, and it's inequality whether it's at home, whether it's in the towns. And here's another thing. A lot of students are studying in the towns, but they may be registered back home to vote, and most of them won't go back home to vote in their communities.
Inconvenient, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is when it comes to it is students see the inequality, as well as they see that the campuses for them is where it counts. So whether it's in the community or on campus, if it's fees that they're after or if it's poverty, they want answers and they want it now. It's not grounded in reality. So they want immediate gratification on all the problems. And I think the world of social media has also made it interesting, because they see how people can be exposed, people can be dealt with almost ruthlessly overnight, where they think the world problems can be solved in the same way at the same speed.
Well, this is where it gets really interesting, because now we're drawing parallels across why an Afrilennial lost 6 months in a job, why an Afrilennial is perhaps feeling a little despondent about what they've achieved by 25 or by 27, because this culture of instant gratification is so strong that it even extends itself into a voting sphere, where you say, well, if we really tried, we could do something in a couple of days. How important at the end of the day actually is this collective, what 50 million people are doing thing, which is quite an overwhelming thought to wrap one's head around. So I'm going to say it again so that I understand it. But the idea of instant gratification is to the extent that one is even expecting instant gratification in the context of moving 50 million people forward. And when you don't think that's possible, or you don't think that other people can make that happen, you kind of avoid the process.
Absolutely. I mean, can you imagine sitting in the seat of government at the highest levels and having that thought that if we don't get this right and service delivery doesn't improve, and if we don't provide huge amounts of opportunity to young people that are getting ready for, they're becoming eligible to work, is that it could be huge civil unrest. So if you think that fees must fall, but beyond universities, if you think that if it's SA must fall, like there, if you think of this pressure pot, that if we don't start dealing with the issue around finding opportunities for youth out there, the country could get ungovernable if to the extreme. But enough of the good news.
Yeah. No, listen, I mean, it's important to have these conversations because there's a good chance that someone who's young who may not be interested in voting listening to this now is probably having sort of a rethought around that because maybe they haven't taken 5 minutes to even think about why they're voting or they're not voting. I've gotten into so many different arguments with friends who don't vote and they say it's because no one really talks to me or whatever. And actually, it's not about that at all. It's about what is the decision that you can make that's going to, in your opinion, you know, make the best sort of outcome possible. I've always said, if you don't agree with X or you don't agree with Y, whatever it is, at least just vote so that you change the status quo a little bit, so that you make some people scared if they should be scared, or you make some people feel confident if they should feel confident, or whatever it is.
So I would say two things on that. First of all is, well, three things. Usually the turnout for a local election is much less than a national.
Mm.
So even more the reason to stretch yourself and in the morning and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to buck the trend and I'm going to go and make a difference. Two, a lot of the metros are tightly contested.
Hugely so, yeah.
So you only need a couple of thousand here or a few hundred thousand there to really shift the real direction of your metro. So the dial can move, change can happen, and I just get this sense around students, you know, just not believing that one person can make a difference.
Mm.
And that at the heart of it, if you had to think that in your world, if you had to speak to someone nicely, if you had to do a favor for someone, if someone did something for you, it can make a huge difference to one person. And the same thing is with a vote. One vote can shift the world. But if you put it all together with millions of others. So it's really about, are you a team player? And lastly, what I say to people is if you're choosing not to vote, then on Thursday, you've got to put yourself on mute.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer can sit at the table and have an opinion.
The other thing, yeah. Yeah, you discount your voice on it. I also think a lot of it's to do with so many different ways to express your voice in this day and age. It's like some people might think that their tweet's going to make more of a difference than their vote will. I genuinely feel like some people have these thoughts that, oh, well, I'm going to get 100 tweet impressions. That's going to make more of an impact. It's this disconnect as well between the digital world and the real world, and thinking sometimes that the digital world has more power than perhaps what it necessarily does. Because at the end of the day, the digital world is influenced by our physical world, and it's a representation. So your tweet, yes, you may have 100,000 followers, and they may see your message, and they may make a change or whatever, but that one vote that you cast as a South African, it has a huge, huge impact.
It's much more important than trending.
Way more important. What are you going to tell the kids about voting in a South African context when it comes time for them to vote?
Students?
No, your kids.
My kids. So what I've done all along, while as soon as they're even conscious about it, is I brought them with for registration.
Cool.
I've shown them what's going on. They ask me a lot of questions and they've got lots to say about the government, and I'm going to take them with to vote. I even their granny is very involved in one of the parties, and they even worked at a shopping center.
Oh, cool.
You know, working for one of the parties. So it's really cool to see them volunteering and getting involved and wanting to make a difference.
Because it's such a cool thing. I remember as a kid when my parents used to go vote, like, it's such a cool thing to do. And somewhere that coolness has been lost, and this is what it is. It's about gravitating back towards being that kid, just mystified by how this process works, so excited about the ink on your finger that you can't get off, and then mom, dad, are you going to have to grow your fingernail out until you can get the ink off, or can you use the soap or whatever? Like, we've got to get back to that excitement that we had as kids about voting.
Yeah.
In 2016.
Yeah. Don't you remember also the conversations that you may have at home? What time should I go? And like, yes, your parents are always there at the crack of dawn, like as if it's like the game reserve that opens up at sunrise. And then you're thinking, well, should I go later? But hang on, if it's still busy, where should, you know, it's all about that strategic decision on when am I going to go to the polls. And you know what I find lacquer is actually when there is a queue. Because usually you actually find people that you haven't seen in a long time, and you connect with strangers, and it's actually that's the real sense of being South African.
Yeah, nothing will ever beat you know, those images coming out of the first democratic elections in 1994, the connectedness and the unity of a nation that were voting in that context. And there's been some kind of disconnect in the past few years, but that's what we've kind of got to gravitate back towards, is people being excited about voting, people seeing it as a real way to steer the direction of the country, and thinking of themselves more than just a number or a person that just merely is on this piece of land versus another piece of land across the pond. Final thoughts.
People must want to stay in the queue like Starbucks is just opening.
If they offered free Starbucks, yeah, right, that's one way to get the youth there, yeah.
But really, the sense of even if you want to prove to yourself that you can go against what you're feeling, get out, go make your vote count, and then just see how it's almost magical how the rest of the day you'll just feel empowered that you did something, and you did something that added to feeling good.
That's it. Everyone's asking, how can they make a positive impact in the world? Well, the first thing you can do is get out of bed and go vote. Thank you very much for stopping by. If people want to keep up with you all day, I know it's very easy. You're waiting for their tweet. You're on standby. How do we get involved?
Just find me at Ronen Ayres. So it's RonenAires, or through Student Village at S Village.
Fantastic. That there is a Ronen Ayres. Dude, thanks so much for stopping by.
Cool. Nick Hillman on CliffCentral.com.